In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Last time I stood in this pulpit, I spoke about gathering an inventory of saints for our pilgrimage through this life. Well, today we begin a new Christian year, and we take inventory as well. But this Sunday, we take inventory concerning our pilgrimage into eternity. In other words, we take inventory about ultimate things. And this is not something we readily face. Most call T.S. Eliot our finest Anglican poet, and I think he is, but I call him a prophet for words such as these that he wrote. Why should men love the church? Why should they love her laws? She tells them of life and death, and of all that they would forget. She is tender where they would be hard, and hard where they would like to be soft. She tells them of evil and sin, and other unpleasant facts. So courage, dear ones, courage. It is Advent. It is a season for facing all that we would forget. It is a season for facing fears, for facing matters that we have deferred or ignored or just hidden away. And the season of Advent, it's all too short to do the work of repentance we need to do. I will spare you my extended argument that we need the more ancient observance of Advent, which was 40 days long. It's historically been a mirror of Lent. I'll spare you that argument. I'll just simply say, our Advent, it offers only 25 days until the season changes to Christmas. So time, it's already getting on when we begin Advent. And time is our chief concern this morning. We hear our Lord say, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Two things of ultimate importance about time are hidden from us: the day of our death and the day of Christ's return. Those two days are hidden from us, and there's nothing we can do to control those moments. And yet we are always seeking to control time. And this is as old as the apostles, who wanted to know when the kingdom of God would finally come. Remember the last question the apostles asked Jesus before he ascended to heaven. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus answered them, saying, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So we seek to control time with knowledge. And instead of having that knowledge, our Lord teaches preparation instead. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And so I ask you, this first Sunday of Advent, the question that comes to us all, myself included, of course, are you ready to meet him? That's the question not only for today, but it's the question for the all too brief season. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to stand before Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead? My brother and sister, we will not only be judged regarding the decision to confess Christ at our baptism, at our confirmation. Christ will examine our whole lives. He will examine our hearts. He will examine our actions. How have we guarded ourselves from hardness of heart? How have we sought to purify our hearts, to pursue holiness? We read from Matthew 24 in the Gospel today. Turn it over one page to Matthew 25, and we will hear our Lord say that he will ask us how we loved the hungry, the thirsty, the prisoner, the stranger, and more. This is why we need prayers like the Great Litany. Because in the prayer of the Great Litany, we pray for a litany of conditions that we are prone to forget. We pray for needs that we ignore, that others face because we don't want to be inconvenienced. This is why we need this liturgy. We pray there for attitudes and offenses that in ourselves, left to our own devices, we would otherwise ignore or deny. If we cannot ask questions of ultimate importance in church, where else could we ask them? Or when would we ask them? If not now, if not in Advent. The risk is that we won't. That's the risk. The longer I live this Christian life in the 21st century, in the United States of America, the more I am convinced that there will never be a convenient time for the most important questions of our existence. There will not be a convenient time for the most important things. It is also true in matters of marriage and family life. There is never an ideal moment for the most important conversations of family life. I remember taking a silent retreat some years ago in Hot Springs, North Carolina. It was near the French Broad River. So my goal for the retreat was to go near the French Broad River because A, I love rivers, and B, because I love particularly the French Broad River. It is the third oldest river in the entire world, flowing nearby. Well, the first evening I arrived, a powerful storm swept through the mountains, and it brought torrential rainfall. Now, this was not Hurricane Helene strength by any means, but still, there was a deluge of rainfall in a very short amount of time. My cabin was situated high on a bluff, and so I could see below me the French Broad River was rising. And then the thought occurred to me as I was watching this, I need to get in my car and check the water level along the access road and the bridge I crossed to get to this place. Because when the floodwaters are rising, you need to know how to escape a flood situation to get to safety. We heard our Lord Jesus say in the gospel of the coming judgment, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." The pace of life in America, it can be like a river that is rising. The current increasing year after year. Now notice, our Lord, when He spoke about the days of Noah, He was speaking about ordinary things, even good things, even God-given things in the days of Noah that left people unaware of that coming flood. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. These are good, ordinary things. And yes, for us, we have the steady rainfall of ordinary things, of checklists, appointments, and meetings, to-do lists, project plans, meal plans, vacation plans, activities, outings, practices, games. Not suddenly, but gradually, one can find oneself flooded by life, flooded by commitments. And we can be caught unaware by that flood. And then, where is the time or the moment that we ask the most important questions? Am I prepared to stand before Jesus? In the days of Noah, God instructed His servant to build an ark to escape the flood. And then when the Son of Man came, the Son of the Father, He constructed an ark too. That ark we call the church. And from the days of Noah till now, the Lord builds strong and durable arks to save His people. Storm-tossed and battered?
Yes.
Still able to save us? Noah's ark, the church?
Yes.
Yes. So how does our church prepare us for ultimate things? When we are flooded in time. How do we wake up, as the scriptures call us? How do we stay awake to eternal things in a world where, as Paul said, the night is far gone, the day is at hand? How do we stay awake? Number one, the church keeps you ready and awake in worship. So keep watch over yourself, not only coming into worship and liturgy, but watch your heart that you do not go through the motions of liturgy and Advent. How do you do this? You prepare yourself before you come to worship. You pray. You add your prayers in the prayers of the people. Number two, the church prepares you for eternal things through Scripture. Don't just read Scripture, as we're called to do in the daily office, but ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your deepest need from Scripture. Pray that as you come to Scripture. St. James said, "You have not because you ask not." The Word of God is living and active. Now, you cannot make the Word of God come alive in your own power, but you can pray with all your heart to love His Word, to have a desire for His Word, and that you hear the Lord speak to your heart and your need from His Word. Number three, the church prepares us and keeps us awake through confession of sin. Not just the general confession of Sunday, but sacramental confession with a priest. Why do I speak about confession as often as I do and others do as well at Preach here? Why do I speak about confession as often as this? Because I want you to walk in freedom and peace. And to quote another priest, God does not judge twice. Sins absolved and forgiven in sacramental confession. They wash away guilt. They wash away shame in a flood, a different flood, a flood of God's mercy and His compassionate love. Confession keeps us awake and alert. It is actually bringing judgment forward, as N.T. Wright says, so that we stand clean before Christ on the 2 days that are hidden from us, the day of our death, the day of Christ's return. Finally, we are made ready to meet Christ by receiving His body and blood. This is the foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb. How do we prepare, though, for Holy Communion? Do this in Advent. Pray on Saturday night before Sunday morning. Use the prayers of preparation for Holy Communion that are in the Book of Common Prayer. They're in the occasional prayers, the additional prayers. Prepare also by being reconciled with your neighbor before you come to the table. And most of all, those neighbors we call family members. Consume the bread and wine with utmost reverence, because these are the most precious gifts of Christ's body and blood. This is how we are prepared. You see, those who kneel here in humility and in repentance and reverence, they are well prepared to stand before the throne of Jesus when He comes again. Advent is here. It is the time, and it is the season to ask ultimate questions. Questions that we would not face. And so let us face them, but not in your own strength. That's not how we face them. No, we face them within the ark of Christ's church. For the Lord built this ark, His church, to endure from generation to generation and to make His people ready to meet Him when He returns in power and great glory. Amen.